Okay, this hour we'll take your phone calls with Stan Deo as we continue chatting with him about some of the prophetic things that he's talked about, earthquakes and earth changes as well. All of that next on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Stan Deo as we are talking about earthquake predictions, EMP possibilities, and major earth changes as well. Stan, if you had to predict our biggest pressing problem, our issue, what would that be?
I think today it would be the threat of nuclear war over either or both North Korea, Russia, and China against us, or our involvement with Israel over in the Middle East with the Iranian situation, Iranian-Russian situation against the Saudi alliance. Those two both threaten us with nuclear war. I do think that people need to be prepared. We've been saying this, and you've been talking about in the show for years, that, you know, you need food, water, emergency supplies, maybe radio communication, something like that. That Holly talks about all that in the Dare to Prepare book. But
she was years ahead of herself, too, wasn't she?
Wasn't she?
My God.
Well, has it been like 98? That's 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And been updating it every time. She just updated here a couple years ago. And, this year, did we do it?
Is that her yelling in the background?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, she said 2 months ago, I forgot. We've got so many things on the go here. But, it's the sixth edition of it, and 632 pages. And
it's huge. It is huge. I remember when I first got the original copy of it, how big it was. How long did it take her to work on?
I think she started when she was a teenager collecting information. Her mother was a real prep lady, you know, living in the Kansas area. There, they did a lot for tornadoes and storm and stuff, and put things in the crawl space. But she started then and started, collecting information. And then she got more serious about it when we were together in the early 90s or mid 90s. She started a newsletter and, telling people about things in the news, and they would feed back to her and say, "Hey, you know, we did such and such with our raised garden, or we did this, you know, with our MREs, or you know." And so all that information prompted her to start collecting from various sources and putting it into a coherent, guide, you know, that people need to know what to do for this kind of an emergency and that kind of a disaster. And it just kind of morphed into that whole book.
Hey, by the way, as a former undercover agent for the FBI, I mean, how do you feel about them being under fire these days?
Well, you know, I haven't had contact with the agency for many, many years, but at the time when I was involved in it in 71, that time we were having a war within the FBI between those that were pro-Hoover and those that were with the president. And it was a serious internal war that nobody kind of knew about outside the agency. But that tells me that division probably never got healed. We still got those kind of political groupings within the FBI. So being fair, I would say that they need to be investigated and the House needs to be cleaned. So I endorse the president wanting to do that.
Oh, so you do? Okay. That's an interesting take.
Well, it's, you know, it was a life or death matter when I was in the agency. You had to be very careful who you told what. This secretary or that phone answerer, you didn't want them to know, you know, certain things. You'd only talk to your agent because of the huge probability of death if it got in the wrong hands.
Are you glad you're out of it now?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, a long time ago, Holly and I decided if I ever got approached again, the answer would be no. I wouldn't do it again.
And in theory, like the mob, once you're in, you're always in. Is that the same with this, or you are out, right?
Yeah, I've been out so long now that anything that I know about or could say wouldn't be of any importance to the majority of people that would want to know.
To the phones now we go. Tom in the Bronx, welcome to the program, Tom. Go ahead.
I'd like to say that if there is a war by March against North Korea, how do you find the real Kim Jong-un? Because he's got at least 400 lookalikes running around.
Well, he does have a lot of lookalikes. What do you think of that, Stan?
Well, I know that the Russians have been adding troops to their border with North Korea, special kind of troops, special forces, to counter American special forces that may be sent over to get Kim Jong-un. As far as the duplicates, I don't know how they would keep a track on the real guy for sure. But I do know that that the Russians and perhaps the Chinese as well are expecting us to send in small tactical forces to get in there and get him with whatever means they have to identify him and his current location. So I don't know. It's definitely going to be a problem.
I remember reading books when the Soviet Union and the East Germans were building the wall with barbed wire and cement around the perimeter of Berlin. They had 32,000 troops. We had 1,500. There was nothing we could do. Kennedy just merely let it happen because, you know, he didn't want to go to war with the Soviet Union over that. Finally, of course, that wall broke under the Reagan administration. But are we as tense as we were then, Stan, do you think?
I think more so. I really
Jeez.
Do. We, you know, President Trump said it tonight in the State of the Union that we need to beef up, you know, kind of reboost our military because the last two administrations haven't really done much to supply the infrastructure and the money they needed for building our defenses, you know, revamping all of our missile silos and new aircraft and things like that. So we are really in a delicate position to try to take on Russia or Russia and China. So, yeah, I think the tensions are a lot higher. Anybody that reads the news has got to feel that.
Let's go to Wayne in Chicago now. Hi, Wayne. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you, George.
Sure thing, sir.
Yes, our military is already stretched thin. You know, we're in Afghanistan. We're in Iraq. So the military is stretched thin already. You know, Mr. Dale, sometimes I just wonder, do you really hear yourself talking? We are talking about going to war with a country that has nuclear weapons. And just a few years ago, 50 submarines disappeared. United States didn't know where they were, the Japanese, the South Koreans. 50 North Korean subs disappeared off radar. They didn't know where the subs were until the subs came back and docked into port. And the Defense Intelligence Agency has already let us know that the North Koreans can make miniaturized nuclear weapons. So the United States would be foolhardy to attack the North Koreans. Insane, as a matter of fact.
Well, he's not endorsing it, Wayne. He's simply saying he believes it's going to happen. Go ahead, Stan.
Yeah, you know, Wayne, I understand what you're saying, but there's a point where you have to draw the line and say this far and no farther. You know, I trust President Trump will do the right thing, and I don't know what the right thing is, really. Certainly don't want to see war, but we know that everybody around us is gearing up for a nuclear war, and the world seems to just really detest America now. Sadly, you know, we've done so much to help the world, but
what I can't get, Stan, is of course Russia's not afraid of whatever North Korea ends up building or making. China's not concerned. Why can't we be friends with people? Why is there always this tension and animosity? I don't get it.
Well, look at our Congress, the Democrats and the Republicans. Tonight in the State of the Union address, you know, the Democratic side sat down, crossed their arms, and were crossing.
Oh, you could feel the tension.
Yeah. I mean, that's just in our country, not to mention other countries who, you know, these new trade agreements are you know, biting into their cash flow that they were getting us. They were milking us. And now then they're angry because we're saying that, you know, that's going to stop. So it's an economic factor. It's a cultural factor. And in some cases in the Middle East, it's a religious factor. Hard to say what's the biggest influence.
Jim in Madison, Wisconsin's with us. Go ahead, Jim.
George, I want to thank you once again. I've called before, and you played some of my songs on your stations.
Oh, great.
It was really kind of you. I want to talk to you and Stan. I've had precognitive dreams all through my life, and I had one that was really pretty amazing to me. I was so surprised by it. I dreamt it was in full, like, a lurid technicolor movie. And I dreamt about two ladies that were being interviewed by the underground or the yellow press at the time, like the Star and the Enquirer magazine that used to be in the supermarkets at that time in the early 1980s. Anyway, I dreamt they were talking about Pantexa, and those letters appeared in like 10-foot high neon letters in my dream. PANTEX AAA, And I couldn't understand what that dream was about, except maybe it had something to do with the American Automobile Association with the three A's. But I went to a doctor's office for just routine checkup a few years later, and I picked up a magazine, and in the magazine there was an article. It was a People magazine, actually, and it talked about Amarillo, Texas, and that Amarillo, Texas was the nuclear weapons assembly plant. They sent nuclear components from all over the country to Amarillo, Texas, to the Pansex plant, which had been created right after World War II. And I was absolutely amazed because I didn't expect something like that to be happening.
Maybe that's what the dream meant, huh?
Well, I looked it up on the Internet just recently, and they've been downgrading the Pantex plant. But at the time, there was a big controversy between the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches about whether to even have a plant like that where they assembled nuclear weapons and then sent those nuclear weapons all globally. The thing that I found that was pretty scary to me was that I wondered what the AAA stood for, and so I began looking up. I thought in possibly Hebrew, the A might be like the Aleph, I think. Maybe that's in the shape of a capital letter A. I looked in the Babylonian language, and the A stood for the letter, the number, 6. So it stood for 666.
Sign of the beast.
Well, Satan, I would think. Yeah, the beast, for sure.
Sign of the beast. Stan, you don't talk much about that, do you?
Well, I don't hold the same opinion as a lot of people do that study prophecy like that, saying that 666 is the number of the beast. It actually points to the name of the beast. If you look on my show images page, down around image 13, right underneath between 10 and 13, it tells what I think is happening. The clue in Revelation 13.
And by the way, let me tell folks where they can find the images, Stan. Oh, they're right at coasttocoastam.com, right under Stan's name on the left-hand side of the front page, and then you click that link, and then all his pictures show up. Go ahead, Stan.
All right. Well, under 14 and between 14 and 11 of the show images page there, I've quoted Revelation 13:18 because it's been a mystery. It says, here is wisdom, like here's a clue, you know, a code. Let him who has understanding count the number of the beast, talking about the Antichrist, for it is the number of a man. And the man's number, his number, is 666. Well, now, a long time ago, a prophecy teacher told me, he said, look, the codes in the Bible, you know, prophetic codes, they can be translated, you know, and answered within the Bible. So I thought, right, well, this is in the New Testament. Where in the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, was the number 666 used, and in reference to a man? And the only place was to King Solomon, and he took in 666 talents of gold every year as part of his earnings. He was known for his wisdom, the wisdom of Solomon. Okay, now I thought, right, okay, so if this is telling us the name of the Antichrist is going to be Solomon, well, okay, whose name Solomon that's in a power position? Didn't see anybody immediately, and then it dawned on me. In the Middle East, Solomon is spelled Salman, S-A-L-M-A-N, Mohammed ben Salman. So I looked at that. He's, you know, very clever, rearranging his country and, you know, coming to power like a, you know, a military king type thing. So that's why I think 666 is important. It points to Solomon. And I made a whole DVD on that, which goes with my Eden DVD. They're on the same package. But I tell you all the details of why I think the Antichrist of this age is identified by that 666 as being a Solomon, having gold and riches and being a wise king type guy.
Now, he becomes the king when his father either abdicates the throne or just simply dies.
It's when he dies, because his father's taking over the position of the guardian of the two mosques in the Middle East, the major mosques. But, you know, right now, Mohammed bin Salman is a prince. and it's a prince in prophecy that ratifies the agreement between Israel and its Arab nations. This is being negotiated right now between the United States, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, trying to get this peace treaty and telling the Palestinians, okay, we'll fund you to move somewhere else. We'll give you a place to live. This is Mohammed bin Salman telling him that. So he's a prince, and he, according to prophecy in Daniel, he will ratify or endorse the peace treaty between Israel and the nations around them. And this is already happening. I mean, he's made friends with Israel, and they're talking peace behind the scenes.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
It is. Stan, we're going next to the Bible Bullets and Beans guy, Cornelius in Louisiana. Hello there, Cornelius. I beat you at the punch.
All right, George. And Stan, yeah, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible Bullets and Beans man, telling everybody to get ready there, Mr. Stan Dale.
Absolutely.
Stan, I hope you'll come down here to Mardi Gras. I'm the Mardi Gras man down here in Alexandria, Louisiana, so I hope you and Holly can come to Mardi Gras. My question for you, Mr. Dale, is that you've gotten all this information and stuff. I hope you have an 800 number or something. We'd love to call you and stuff because I don't have no computer or nothing like that back here in the backwoods like swamp people. So if you got a phone number at the end of your show segment, I'd love to get it so I can get some of your information.
Well, you can just kind of, I guess, look us up in the phone book over for Pueblo West, Colorado. We're the only Stand AO in there.
D-E-Y-O.
Yep.
D-E-Y-O.
Do that. That's kind of the easy way to do it.
Did you have a question, Corny?
Yeah. My question is, with the March 1st date, you think that'll be the beginning of the end times? And like I said, if you can give that number out, I'd appreciate it because there's no way I can get it. God bless you, George and Stan.
Okay, well, don't give out your personal number over the air, Stan.
No, I'm not doing that.
Don't do that.
You know, the first week of March date is kind of a quasi-date, and as I said when we talked about it, it may be disinformation for the enemy, and it may be true fact. I mean, Holly and I have been seeing here in Colorado, you know, large numbers of helicopters and like 10 at a time, which usually is a transfer of assets getting ready for some kind of military action. So there is movement of troops here and in Oklahoma and aircraft that we and in Nevada that we think may be indicative of us getting ready to have a conflict. Now, America may be the Babylon of this modern age, and it may go down and be destroyed in one night by fire, as it mentions Babylon in Revelation. If that's the case, well, the seven-year tribulation can't be far behind starting, you know, when that happens.
Are we loved or hated worldwide? In your opinion,
know, it's a love-hate relationship. When Holly and I lived in Australia, they looked at Americans as having money. Everybody was a rich American, and everybody worked for the CIA. And they wanted what we had. They were jealous. But, you know, we were fair game. Yanks were fair game. You had to pay the high price. And so they didn't really like us, but then they loved what we had, like Disneyland and stuff like that. And when you go to Europe, it's mixed opinions. Now that the population is inverting to, you know, Middle East Arab content, I'm sure they don't like us much at all. Even England has not been as friendly to us as it could be.
All right, Stan, stay with us. We're going to come back and take some final phone calls with you, fast couple hours with you. And then next hour, we're talking about ancient giants right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, our final segment with Stan Dale. We'll take your calls. By the way, we've got our luncheon coming up in a couple weeks with Stephen Cates, Dr. Sky. Couple seats left. Send an email to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com and include your phone number. They'll get right back to you. The lunch is Feb 13th here in the Los Angeles area. So take advantage of that. And welcome back to Coast, Stan Dale with us. Stan, of course, is predicting some big problems coming up in March. Can these problems be avoided, Stan?
Well, I guess anything can be changed if the circumstances are right. But the problems you're talking about for March are part of what, you know, I said before. I think it could be disinformation, but it may be real, heading for a nuclear war. And even if you didn't have this report from the guys that sent it to me, if you look at the world situation, we are at flashpoint for problems within our country and for problems outside the country with various large nuclear nations and some smaller ones as well. But I wanted to look at something here. We talked about earlier in the show about the earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at slide 63 on our show images page, earthquakes magnitude 7.
And for people who don't have that capability, describe what you're looking at.
I'm looking at graphs of every month for the last 18 years. I summed up how many Richter 7 to 9 Richter earthquakes occurred on every day of the year and looked at all the years put together. And in January, a week or so back when we talked last, I did say look for a Richter 7. And then, of course, within two or three hours, I guess it was, the 7.9 hit Alaska. Well, tonight is the 30th. And if you look at the graph I've got, the last entry in January is for the 30th for maybe an average like of one in 18 years that occurs on the 30th of January. Well, as we were talking, a Richter 6.1, it's not a 7, but it hit the Afghanistan Hindu Kush region just now. So it's following true, even though the graph is showing things are trending down at the end of the month. We still had a 6.1, which is an elevated quake. And I know from the other graph I've got that the Richter 5 to 7 is on the increase, greatly on the increase, and should increase greatly, next 2 or 3 years. However, the larger earthquakes are, Richter 7s, are on the decline, is telling us that pressure is building up out there somewhere, and is not a good thing. So, the graph is proving true to form, and so people ought to pull these graphs down and store them because they work all year round, and it'll give you an idea of what to expect, especially if you guys live over on the West Coast. Look at the days, February 5th through the 8th, looks at the elevated days for Richter 7 or above. But Richter 7 occurrences are starting to decrease, while the Richter 5s are better, are starting to increase. They're inverse curves. So going to be interesting. Store those graphs, and we'll see what happens.
Back to the calls east of the Rockies, Joe in Long Island, New York. Joe, go ahead.
Dan, do you think any of the dams out west, say the Hoover, are at risk from an earthquake, where it could actually topple? And also, I think the Chinese are kind of a nemesis at this point. You're getting fentanyl shipped to, this area, New York, New Jersey, by mail from labs in China. I mean, that's pretty hostile stuff. And, that's not really making the press as much. So I wonder if their money is even controlling our media to a degree and influencing the news. Then finally, I ask you about George Orwell's book. Do you see that as prescient, 1984, being a former undercover FBI agent? And do you see what he was talking about as propaganda or also fake news, maybe?
Well, gosh, a number of questions. The last one about George Orwell, 1984, I think 1984 is coming late, but I do think we're approaching that on a global basis. I think the deep state that is opposing President Trump and his administration are an example of this. They wanted America to be consumed by the world government so that we could tell people how many children they have, we could tell people what to eat, we could control people by their ID number. And by the way, the Republicans are even starting to sign on board with this new secret bill to make people have to have a biometric ID, or they can't buy or sell here. This is a worry. It's 1984 coming to pass right now, I think.
And the proliferation of drugs into the country, like fentanyl, which could have wiped out New York or New Jersey, they just arrested some people a couple days ago.
Yeah, there's medical fentanyl and stuff like that. It's a very dangerous drug. My doctor prescribed a couple of patches for me a couple years ago for back pain and stuff. It was pretty bad. And I didn't read the instructions too close and put one on my back and went in to take a hot shower. This is not the thing to do. It nearly wiped me out for about 4 hours. I was in real strife because it pumped so much of it into my skin. So it's a dangerous drug, and, I think if people use it, they ought to use it sparingly and under a doctor's care on it.
All right, back to the calls. Harry in Port Huron, Michigan's with us. Hi, Harry. Go ahead.
Hello there. And, Stan, my question for you is, you mentioned earlier about the houses for EMP. What about apartment buildings? Are you going to do anything, or do you have anything that we can use in apartment buildings to protect them?
Can you just repeat that and put your mouth a little bit further away from the mic? You broke up. I couldn't hear the first part of your question.
Okay. You mentioned about houses that you have EMP protection for homes, which is fantastic. My question is, what about apartment buildings? What can we do there?
It depends on, let's see. Do you have a breaker box in your apartment?
Yeah, each one of them does, yes.
Okay. If you can hook the device into your breaker box and to a ground wire, and I think you will have a ground and a neutral in that box. We have a number of apartment owners up in Alaska that have already bought a bunch for their apartments. And you can make it so that it is invisible if you want to put it inside the breaker box and not look at it. You know, we can give you a model to do that, or you can mount your unit inside there to the, you'll connect it to two lines. Do you have a 20-amp breaker or better in your box, do you know?
I don't know, Stan. I don't know if we do.
You might, but we need two 20-amp breakers or better, or higher, to dump the current through when we go to ground. But it takes four wires for your apartment. It takes a neutral, a ground, and the active, and the neutral connection there as well. We go across all those. We have units that put a little ribbon cable comes out underneath the front plate and on your wall. It's a small thing, about an inch by a half inch, and it has three LEDs that turn green while it's on and functioning, which is should be all the time. Some people want to see if their unit's active, and so they can put that on, and it's not a big box on the wall that's 4 inches by 6 inches. Other people don't mind, and they'll have it outside their breaker box with four wires going into the side of the breaker box. But it should work easily, and my only concern is to be sure you have a good ground connection, which you must have in that apartment, and then a neutral, which is always in your breaker box. So, looks good to me.
Experts say that with an EMP or a solar flare, within a year, 90% of the Americans would die, Stan.
I'm afraid so. I don't have access to the stats they use to determine that, but you think about it. If EMP clobbers all the electronics that control food production, transport, communications, radio, TV and stuff, manufacturing of all the kind of stuff you want to eat, people are going to riot. They're going to be hungry and spoiled, so they're going to take their guns and knives and whatever and go steal what they can from their neighbor. So rather than direct death due to starvation or things, I think you'll see a lot of direct death from gangs and people looting. This is kind of why Holly suggested in the Prudent Places, the CD-ROM, places where you should not be and places where you should be, physically, to avoid some of these crowd-oriented, problems when power fails or when war starts and that kind of stuff. So, I believe we'd lose a lot of people.
All right, let's go to the phones. Charlie in Phoenix, Arizona, first-time caller. Hi, Charlie.
Hey. I've listened to Coast to Coast all the time. Big fan.
Thank you.
And is it just a coincidence that after the State of the Union and President Trump is saying how positive everything is going, you get this guy on that says we're going to go to war, nuclear war, in 60 days? And then I want to make one more comment.
Sure, go ahead.
The other comment is, does it really make sense for a victor, play Game of Thrones?
I'm losing you on the phone.
Does it really make sense for a victor to destroy the human and resources of the conqueror, to nucleize it and can't touch it for 100 years?
No, absolutely not. And I think anybody at this point who would detonate nukes would have to be insane. But, Stan, I'll let you react to his first comment.
I didn't quite hear the first comment because of the breakup on the phone. I could probably comment on the second one about the wisdom of a victor destroying the spoils. The the United States certainly has a lot of, you know, water and things that people would like to have and property, but it may be a matter of getting rid of a cancer on the world order by destroying us, and the other countries will take the lead and produce the food and technology that we need. The Hopi that Holly and I visited told us, their prophecy keepers told us, that there will be an invasion of the United States by Russia and China and one Middle East country that will be a short-term occupation because the land will be so polluted by the weapons they use and there will be so many dead bodies that they'll retreat and leave the remnant of North American people to fend for themselves, which the Hopi say will be over in the Four Corners and Colorado region of the country. I don't know where the wisdom comes into warfare when, you know, people get firing nukes at each other. It's every man for himself, so the logic may fail them.
Next up, let's go to Ed in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Ed, go ahead.
George, thanks for taking my call.
Sure,
Ed. Dan, listen, you know, you mentioned earlier that they're talking about ratifying that peace agreement. Now, correct me if I'm wrong here. My understanding is, when they ratify that peace agreement between Israel and the Arab nations, that will be the starting of the seven-year covenant, at the end of which Jesus Christ, the second coming, takes place. And that final conflict at the Battle of Megiddo, where the forces of evil, you know, the armies of the north, the armies of the east, will all converge on the Valley of Megiddo to do battle against Jesus Christ and the Israelis at that time. Now, but the one thing I was going to ask you was this. I haven't heard you mention anything about the false prophet. Now, in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, I think it's between chapter 16 and 18, it talks about a false prophet that gives power to the beast to cause all to take a mark of the beast. They won't buy, sell, or trade unless they take that mark. But the false prophet, as I'm understanding it, and I've read this I don't know how many times, he is a key player with the Antichrist. He's the guy that's going to give the power to the beast, as I'm understanding it.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I've looked at Erdogan of Turkey as a prime candidate for that that second beast. Who, mm-hmm. you know, he seems to put forward all the PR for the first beast, which is the Antichrist, who suffers some kind of a defeat or wound. Some people say in battle and kind of takes a back seat. But the false prophet or the second beast puts up images of him for people to see everywhere and, you know, declares that people have to submit to him as the king of the world and so they can get their personal ID or biometric card ID. So, yeah, I think that Turkey is in a perfect position, and Erdogan at the moment as the leader of that country, to house the false prophet who will bring this world economy together under his own leadership.
Stan, prophecy fascinates me. It really does. And in some cases, I hope it never comes to be, but you never know.
Right. Look, prophecy fascinates us, George, because we are in the time where current events are so adding together to the final picture that we see for the end of this age and the beginning of that 7 years of tribulation on the planet. They fit together so well, and there's so many of the clues all coming together that you can't help but be, you know, mystified and interested by it, intrigued by it, when you pick up the newspaper or read it on the Internet. Just things are happening all around that tell us that this is the time that Jesus spoke of, and it's a time to be on his team and not the other guys, because you don't want to be on the planet during that 7 years.
Stan, would you give out your website, please?
Sure. It's standeo.com, S-T-A-N-D-E-Y-O.com. And from there, you can link to the show images page for the Coast to Coast show. And I'll leave those images up there for a few days or weeks, you know, as people look at them to catch up with the program.
And Holly's book, Prophetic Perils, available where?
That's available on that same website, standeo.com. Right at the top of the page, you'll see that, and you'll see pictures of her Dare to Prepare book and the Fruit and Places USA and the Cosmic Conspiracy. Our lead books are there, right there with pictures of them. You can click on and read about them and purchase if you wish.
Okay, my friend, thank you so much. Stan Dale, of course, talking about prophecy, EMPs, and how to protect yourself. Up next, Ancient Giants on Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back.